Oh, stop looking at your speakers like that. You knew where you were when you put it in your browser.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Woo! Oh.
Woohoo!
That's a little too loud for some ears.
It's Tuesday. We're not quite at hump day yet. Not quite there, but we're close. We are getting close.
What's hump day, Ginger?
Hump day is when you get your hump on.
That's going to be taken all kinds of wrong. Good morning, Joe.
Oh, but I love it when they take it wrong. That's right.
Something wrong with her. Something's wrong with
her. All right. Oh, good God, what is that? Hell, I can't think of it now.
You're supposed to be redhead, not blonde, Ginger.
I know, but the redhead is... been drugged up on Benadryl for the past several days. And, so... Family Guy! Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. No,
Family Guy. That's what I was watching.
Scared me.
See, and that's the other thing. I was watching Family Guy, and my brain cells totally just went on vacation.
Mm-mm. Do I need to tell you that you're wrong?
It was totally wrong. It was wrong in all the... best way.
You know what I'm curious about?
What are you curious about?
How many girls got up and started spinning around in a circle when they heard this song?
I know, it was a Wonder Woman song. Oh my God. I was like, holy shit, where'd she get that?
Daytime, Ginger.
Daytime. I didn't even think about it when I said it. I'm sorry.
Not safe for work anymore. The news is not safe for work.
I'm sorry. Bosses, please don't fire your people for listening to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, they're going to fire them because somebody right now is standing up on top of their desk pretending to block bullets with their magic cuffs.
That's awesome.
That's why they're going to get fired. Get off the desk, girl. Guys, some of you are on the desk. I got up early and found this. I don't know why this isn't... well, I know why this is in my head, because, you know, The Avengers is coming out.
Uh-huh.
It was like superhero morning, so I was listening to this. I listened to the Superman soundtrack, the Batman soundtrack from the original movie. They didn't really use it in the Dark Knight, which is... that one's okay, but I like the other one. And somebody... nobody else really has a theme song. All the rest of the superheroes, the Blade... what's the green one? Green Lantern. I was about to say Green Hornet.
Green Lantern.
I was about to be smacked. Oh, my God. Iron Man doesn't have a theme song. Thor doesn't. Well, I guess they do, but it's not like the old ones. They're iconic. When you hear them, you know exactly who it is. Some of you were looking at your speakers as soon as you heard the first strains. Were like, is she playing Wonder Woman? She is not playing Wonder Woman. I am.
That was so awesome, though. That was a great way to start a Tuesday.
It's a great way to start our show because we are Wonder Women.
Yes, yes, we are. And I haven't decided. Somebody let me know. Is Corey just breaking up on my end or?
I sound perfectly fine. Thank you.
Well, to me, you keep like coming in and out.
I will thank you not to. You know what it could be.
Oh, and Joe, you want to know what my name is? It's Ginger GGR. GINGIRGGR.
Ghost Recon. Recon the ghost. Yes. All right. So you guys know where you be, right? Ginger told you a minute ago. Were you paying attention?
Do I ever pay attention?
I was meaning them, not you. We know you don't.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I'm totally always paying attention.
There is some juicy news going on.
There is definitely some news going on. I've got a geeky story I kind of want to talk about. It doesn't exactly have to do with games. But
Do tell.
Can I talk about something nerdy?
Go ahead. Talk about it.
I found this in the Yahoo Science section, actually. Asteroid mining venture backed by Google execs. James Cameron unveiled. All right, so a newly unveiled company with some high-profile backers, including filmmaker James Cameron and Google co-founder Larry Page, all right, so that makes it a little bit gamey-geeky, has announced plans to mine near-Earth asteroids for resources such as precious metals and water. Tell me this is not cool. Planetary Resources Incorporated intends to sell these materials, generating a healthy profit for itself. but it also aims to advance humanity's exploration and exploitation of space, with resource extraction serving as an anchor industry that helps our species spread throughout the solar system. Planetary Resources co-founder and co-chairman Eric Anderson told Space.com, if you look at space resources, the logical next step is to go to the near-Earth asteroids. They're just so valuable and so easy to reach energetically. Near-Earth asteroids really are the low-hanging fruit of the solar system. Yeah.
To maintain
time. Yeah, some of the groups they plan on, some of the metals, some of the, all right, hold on, platinum group metals, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, osmium, iridium, and platinum. I'd like to say I learned how to pronounce these by playing MMOs. Thank you. Found low concentrations on Earth and can be tough to access, which is why they're so expensive. In fact, Anderson said they don't occur naturally in Earth's crust, having been deposited on our planet over the eons by asteroid impacts. He said, so we're going to go to the source. The platinum group metals are many orders of magnitude easier to access in the high concentration platinum asteroids than they are in Earth's crust. And there are a lot of precious metals up there waiting to be mined. A single platinum-rich space rock, 1,650 feet wide, that's 500 meters, contains the equivalent of all the platinum group metals ever mined throughout human history. That is cool. All right, so if you want to read more about this, I did find this over in the science section of the Yahoo News. And it goes on, and they, you know, they explain exactly what they want to do and everything. It's really kind of neat. And with as many space mining games as they're working out right now, you have to read that. That is so cool.
Well, here's a battle I bet you never saw coming. Motorola and Xbox.
Yeah.
What do they have to battle over? Before I do that, I have to read the comment that from the associate producer over at Danger Close Games, Barry Tingle, says, does anyone remember when companies used to make things to make money instead of spend all day in court and legal battles? Those were the good old days. I agree with you, Barry. According to Games Industry this morning, Microsoft could see the imports of its Xbox console blocked in the U.S. if Motorola Mobility gets its way. David Shaw, a judge for the U.S. International Trade Commission, ruled that Microsoft was violating 4 of 5 of Motorola's mobility patents. A separate judge, however, found that Motorola Mobility infringed just 1 of the 7 Microsoft patents. Judge Shaw's findings are still subject to review by the Sixth Commission, which has the power to ban imports that infringe U.S. patents. Bloomberg is the one who noted that particular little jewel. Microsoft may be forced into settlement talks with Motorola to avoid any such ban. Motorola Mobility actually filed suit against Microsoft in response to Microsoft lodging complaints against Motorola over patent infringement claims involving Motorola Mobility phones that run on Google's Android operating system.
Ooh.
Microsoft continues to infringe Motorola's Mobility patent portfolio, and we remain confident in our position. That's from one Miss Becky Leonard, who's a spokeswoman for Motorola Mobility. She said this case was filed in response to Microsoft's litigate first patent attack strategy, and we look forward to the full commission's ruling in August. In other words, bring it then, Microsoft. What? For its part, Microsoft stands firm that it will be vindicated once the commission finishes its investigation, which should be around August 23rd. Two of the patents in question relate to an industry standard for video decoding. Another 2 are for Wi-Fi technology, and a 5th patent deals with communication between Xbox and its accessories. People, Motorola, why don't you just make a console and put all that stuff in it and then make it better? Why? Why would you?
Because that would make entirely too much sense.
Good Lord. Yawn. Mr. Totally Barry Tingle is absolutely correct. You guys used to make things. Now you just fight all day over what you made. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Who cares?
All right. So what have I got? Oh, anybody not see this coming? Skype coming to PS Vita April 25th.
Oh.
That's tomorrow. As they did with the PSP, Sony and Skype have teamed up to bring the popular voice communication service to the PlayStation Vita. Both Skype video and voice calling will be accessible to PS Vita 3G Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi model owners. Skype includes free Skype-to-Skype voice calling as well as video calling that utilizes PS Vita's front and rear cameras. The Skype app will also have the ability to run in background mode, allowing players to leave it running while they are gaming or using other applications. This will allow them to pause the game, receive a call, then go back to their game or other application when the call is complete. A video of professional gamer fatality using the app and explaining it better can be found to your left, which is up on GamePolitics.com if you want to see that. They say you can also find the official announcement via Skype's official blog, which is blogs.skype.com. The Skype app will be available tomorrow on the PlayStation Store. So, yay!
With free cash in it.
Yay. All right, well, that one's short, so can I grab another one?
Of course, darling. Go.
All right, so since I mentioned the PlayStation Store, Sony yanks Super Collapse 3 from PlayStation Store. They yanked two games from the PlayStation Store because they found a vulnerability to hacker Wololo's Vita exploit, commonly known as the Vita Half-Byte Loader, VHBL. VHBL allows unsigned code, homebrew, or code that has not been approved by the platform holder to run in the PSP emulator. The latest game found to be vulnerable to the exploit is Super Collapse 3 for PSP. After 24 hours of being released and being named on the VHBL site as a game that worked with the emulator, the game was yanked in North America and Europe by Sony. Wololo claims that the VHBL cannot be pirated games because the exploit only enables unsigned code to run in user mode, not at the root permission level that it would be required to launch games.
Wololo. Okay. So yeah. Be afraid. Your castanets may be stolen.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
All right. Well, those of you who like QuakeCon, like Ginger, she's a QuakeCon fangirl, should know that pre-registration is set to open tomorrow. Online pre-registration, that is. Please don't go down to the building and stand outside. Of course, general admission to QuakeCon is free as always, but when pre-registration opens, they will be offering premium packages. These premium packages are limited and will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. What you have, the lowest tier, is called the Swag Pack, full of limited edition items. It has an official QuakeCon 2012 t-shirt, a Dishonored Tallboy t-shirt, and a special limited edition poster. What about Girl? That's going to be about $40, and there's only about 500 of them available. 500 of them available. BYOC Select a Seat, which includes guaranteed reserve seating, which is $30. There's a limit of 1,500 of these available. It's select and reserve a guaranteed seat of your choice in the BYOC area. And also, you'll get an official QuakeCon t-shirt. It'll say BYOC, of course. QuakeCon done quick includes fast passes for the duration of the entire event. Only offer about 350 of these. It says select and reserve guaranteed seat of your choice in the BYOC area. Express lane fast pass registration for the BYOC. Express lane fast pass to every speaker, panel, and public event at QuakeCon. Limited reserve excess seating for all panels, presentations, and events. An official QuakeCon 2012 BYOC t-shirt. Again, pre-registration begins tomorrow at approximately 7 p.m. Central Standard Time or 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The rest of you will have to fare for yourselves if you're trying to figure out what time. QuakeCon is called the Ultimate Video Game Festival. Will take place on site at the Hilton Anatole Hotel in Dallas. That's Dallas, Texas. Doors to QuakeCon will open on Thursday, August the 2nd at 9 a.m. Central and will remain open through August the 5th. As always, again, there is free general admission to BYOC attendees, and you can thank ID as well as a volunteer staff and the 2012 event sponsors and exhibitors. And you can pop over to registration.quakecon.org if you want to get your little self signed up.
You know, I thought about, I wanted to go to that this year, but then, you know, life gets in the way. Whee! All right, so Bejeweled 3 and additional PopCap Games classics coming to retail on PC and console. Consumer favorite Bejeweled 3 bundled with other popular
I know somebody that's going to go nuts when they hear that. What? Bejeweled?
Yes, bundled with other popular PopCap classics will become available on a variety of platforms at retail and first-party online services across Europe, so not here, from April 26, 2012. Since its introduction 10 years ago, Bejeweled has become one of the top 10 video game franchises in history. More than 500 million people worldwide have played the game, and over 50 million units have been sold across 18 platforms. said 9 billion hours have been spent playing Bejeweled, and the game continues to sell at the rate of one copy every 4.3 seconds. Depending on the platform, the Bejeweled 3 bundles will include a section from the following PopCap titles. A selection. Bejeweled 3, Bejeweled Blitz Live, Feeding Frenzy 2, Zuma, Peggle, and Peggle. All right, so if you want to find out more information about any of these, you can head over to PopCap.com or head over to GamingMatrix.com this morning. I have this up for you with links. Yes, go check it out.
All right, well, here's another fight going on. Oracle versus Google, the Android case. Droid. This is really interesting because, this could turn the tides to somebody's favor. Anyway, a blog post written by former CEO Jonathan, or son CEO Jonathan Schwartz, has come into play in the tense courtroom this morning. In an ongoing lawsuit against Google, Judge William Alsup has allowed Google to use as evidence a particularly telling post from 2007. A post that Oracle had already carefully scrubbed off the internet and tried to exclude from the trial. Come on, people, this is Google. Did you not know they couldn't find it on their own server? VentureBeat is reporting that Oracle is suing Google over Android, claiming that Google had no right or permission to use the Oracle Sun-owned Java programming language in the Google-owned Android operating system. However, as Android was launching many years ago, Schwartz, who edited Sun before it was acquired by Oracle in 2010, wrote an extremely positive blog post about Java's use in the Android. The post is up as part of the Internet Archive, and that's web.archive.org, and you can search for it from there if you'd like, because the link is very, very long. And reads in part to say, we've obviously done a ton of work to support developers on all Java-based platforms and completely add Google Android to the list. Needless to say, Google and the Open Handset Alliance just strapped another set of rockets to the community's momentum and to the vision defining opportunity across for the open source community and a massive endorsement of two of the industry's most prolific free software communities, Java and Linux. Yesterday, Android's founder Andy Rubin admitted that in 2006, he thought that key Java APIs were copyrighted and subject to permission from Sun. However, a later and very public congratulatory post from the Sun CEO would give Google some important ammunition in this trial. Oracle's attorneys objected to the post being admitted as evidence in the case. Wow. But this morning, Alsup said the post was important to the trial. It seems to be part of a pattern that acquiescence or tolerance of what Google was doing, Alsup said, is only 2 years later that Oracle acquired the company and things changed. Alsup continued to say that although Oracle now accused Google of patent and copyright violations, at this time, Sun seemed to be enthusiastic about what Google was doing, or at that time. It says it may be that no particular Google witness can recall reading this and they relied on it, but I think that it ought to come into evidence. That's what the judge is saying. In fact, Alsup said more, if Sun itself thought that Android was going to strap some rockets to Java, then how can Oracle say it's been damaged? There ought to be a counterclaim for unjust enrichment. Equipped about a ripple of laughter through the courtroom. He says, I can see this being a legitimate item of evidence. This is fair game. The motion to exclude is overruled.
Overruled.
Okay, you know what? That's when you know Ginger's not paying attention. She repeats the last word you said. I'm cutting you, Ginger.
Don't cut me. I was trying to find more information about this first wedding.
What first wedding?
All right. So, we've started the game Roll in Rock.
Mm-hmm.
They had their first wedding ceremony. And they sent us a press release, but it's only like, I don't know, four sentences long, and I was looking for more information. You know I love me some digital weddings.
Yes, we know you love me some digital weddings. We know. We know.
I know. I need to plan a new one. So anyways, AU
like,
Network.
Wait a minute, I gotta say, Ginger's like the Elizabeth Taylor of Second Life. That's all I'm gonna say.
Men never last, but diamonds sure do.
See? well, taught you well, young Padawan. Go for it.
All right, so AU Network Technology joins hands with Area Games to publish Roll and Rock, a very unique MMO combined with casual gameplay and cute graphics. Roll and gravity are the most impressive keys of its gameplay. All right, so they gave us a picture, which I have put up on GameMatrix.com. The first wedding ceremony in Area Games ship the popularity of the game, around 20 players attend the wedding to witness the love between the bride and bridegroom and enjoy the happiness together with players. Also, it is said that Roland Rock development team is trying to prepare for more updates in this game. Plentiful features will be added. That's nice, but I wanted more information about the wedding. You gave me a picture. Who was it? I want to know who got married, how it went, did y'all officiate it? Bah. These people, they suck.
I officiated. The bride wore leaves. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It looked really cute. It looked really cute. But, yeah. All right. Well, since that one was short, I have another one. I'm very upset. If I find any more information, I will let you know because, you know, I love me some digital weddings. Ah. All right. So research video games are good for older adults. You don't say. All right. So two new articles in the Games for Health journal suggest that the video games are valuable tools to help elderly stay healthy and maintain a reasonably healthy lifestyle. Researchers find that extra gamers, or games that give you a workout while playing, also provide cognitive stimulation and serve as a great way to encourage older adults to be more socially interactive and have fun. This can help in extending the life of older players as well. Editor-in-Chief Bill Ferguson, PhD, says, "The elderly often forsake their lifelong activities in exchange for safety, security, and care of institutional living. This trade-off need not require the sacrifice of physical activity and fitness. Furthermore, video games offer an escape from routine. All of these benefits can improve the well-being of elderly adults." And games are awesome. also say that games offer a home-based method to support behavior modification. In other words, games can motivate the elderly to take better care of themselves and to manage some self-manage some chronic conditions. Other areas where games can be helpful, say experts, are related to physical, occupational, and therapy. Many healthcare professionals are taking advantage of new technology to develop home-based rehabilitation and training programs for older adults. Video games also offer a good alternative to traditional forms of aerobic exercise, according to authors Hannah Marston, PhD, oh my God, people, really? German Sport University Cologne, Germany, and Stuart Smith, PhD, Neuroscience Research, Randwick, New South Wales, Australia. I have to say, you want to improve your speech? Start a webcast where you have to read this every day. Bad. Bad ginger. I mean, don't hear me trip on my words. You just don't even understand. Some of these, seriously, some tongue twisters.
Well, the thing is that they're writing, not reading it, so. All right, P-Cube. P-Cube today announced that it will be sprinting into the Olympic arena with athletics tournament featuring 20 challenging events across 8 unique disciplines and 4 players simultaneous via online local screen. 2020 courts is the year of the London Olympics, and Olympic athletics tournament is set to capture the excitement that surrounds this historic event in style. You can challenge yourself in the summer challenge mode across 20 different events, each with individual difficulty levels and online leaderboards to document your progress to the world. 4-player local split screen and online modes allow you to challenge your friends and the online community at your favorite events. Compete in one of 20 events, including the 100, 200, 400, and 15-meter sprints, 110-meter hurdles, javelin, discus, shot put, long jump, triple jump, pole vault, hammer throw, high jump, fencing, 50-meter recurve archery, 70-meter compound archery, 100-meter freestyle swimming, diving, 100-meter butterfly swimming, and gymnastics. Stunning environmental details and realistic stadiums capture every nuance of the excitement of the live sporting events and bring the atmosphere right into your living room. Athletics tournament is set to release on May the 18th, 2012, to give you a chance to hone your skills in advance of the 2012 Olympics in July. You can go to pcube.co.uk for more information. You can also find them on Facebook at pcube, and it's Q-P-Q-U-B-E. Very, very nice. I have another one. I need to tell you the truth about the Dirty Cloud.
Oh, tell us the truth about the Dirty Cloud. Is there midget porn in it? Is that why it's dirty?
You know, you're...
These are things a girl needs to know.
This is very short, and Greenpeace actually sent this over to us. Why
did we get on Greenpeace's list is my question.
I don't know, but that's kind of cool.
As part of the latest campaign to turn the IT industry, Greenpeace has launched a spoof video that we have a copy of that we cannot put up on YouTube because YouTube gets angry. They say they're not ours, but apparently they are ours. They gave them to us. It's a new spoof video revealing the ugly truth behind Apple's iCloud. The current exploding cloud computing offered by major IT companies is driving significant new demand for dirty energy like coal and nuclear power, according to a new report from Greenpeace International. The report is called How Clean Is Your Cloud? And it shows a growing split within the tech industry between companies that are taking steps to power their clouds with clean energy like Google, Yahoo, and Facebook, and companies like Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft, who lag behind by choosing to build their growing fleets of data centers to be powered by coal and nuclear energy. The report evaluates 14 IT companies and their electricity supply chains of over 80 data centers based on key elements needed to build a clean cloud. Available materials include, wait a minute, this is not, never mind. Okay, that's some little stuff they put at the bottom. Why? I love they stick stuff on at the end when they tell you, here, give them this, and then they stick some stuff on at the end that you're not supposed to hear. Anyway.
Oh, you're going to love that.
Yeah, this is it's a hilarious 45-second video, but apparently YouTube is very irritated by the fact that we put these up. Yeah.
B-Cat, that's awesome, guys. The last time is last forever. Games help seniors dirty cloud.
Yeah, baby. I like the way you summarize. Woot, woot. That's how we roll.
Woot, woot. All right. So, have you heard that there's a new app that's going to be rating Facebook, or the new service that's going to be rating Facebook apps?
It's about freaking time.
Yes. All right. So, over on GamePolitics.com this morning, a new service rates Facebook apps' privacy and tracking policies. A new service by research firm Privacy Choice rates the privacy and tracking policies of various Facebook apps. The service launched this weekend with ratings on over 200 Facebook productivity, sharing, and gaming apps. The top score an app can get is a 100. That score can be diminished by an app doing certain things with users, like failing to respect a user's deletion request, sharing data with a large amount of partners, storing consumer data for long periods of time, and more. According to Privacy Choice, 140 tracking firms routinely collect information about users of the top Facebook apps. These firms can use data to create profiles on individual browsing behavior across multiple web pages to create a targeted ad. So, a couple of examples. Cityville scores a 76. Texas Hold'em Poker scored an 87. Farmville scored an 82. Castleville scored a 76. Yeah, I kind of figured. Angry Birds scored an abysmal 65. Ah, ha, 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 down with you, Angry Birds. And Words with Friends scored a 79. Scoring a 90 to 100 marks the app as most protective, while scoring an 80 through 89 is described as used with caution. And an app 70 or below designates the app as least protective. I've been playing Castleville, and I did what it doesn't even give me a choice, like, because I only want to ask, like, certain friends that I know play Castleville for certain things. Mm-hmm. No. It wants to, like, put it up on my page and spam everybody else's. And I'm like, I just want to ask my Castleville friends.
No, they want you to harass everybody. And then you notice people stop following you or they send you angry mails. Stop sending me this. He's like, I'm sorry. It made me do it. I'm sorry.
You know what? Send me an angry message. I'm not scared.
I ain't scared. But, you know, sometimes we try to be nice people every now and again. All right. The Dead Space. Let's put it this way. Chuck Beaver, you are probably... in deep trouble, even though you've apologized. Chuck Beaver, who's the story producer on EA's Dead Space franchise, has had to apologize for the negative comments he made about Epic's hugely popular Gears of War series. Mm-hmm. The interview with Beaver originally appeared on EA's official blog, The Beat. Beaver criticized Gears of War for its approaches, offensive violation of story basics, and insisted that it had, quote, literally the worst writing in games. Ooh.
That's the voodoo. Worst writing in games.
That is voodoo. EA has since removed the post, and Beaver issued an apology statement over to the peoples at IGN, claiming that his comments had been taken out of context. He said it is an Epic franchise that has trailblazed more than a few industry-leading player experiences and mechanics. He said, it is deservedly recognized as a top-tier title. Its success as a property is evidenced by its great sales and rabid fan base. Rabid? The industry is far better than Epic's contributions, and we all owe a great deal of inspiration to their work. You know what you thought about? Oh, my God, I could get fired. Oh, my God, we may have a new Dead Space coming out, and there's going to be a backlash against it for saying this. You meant exactly what you said. I respect you more if you just stood by it. Just
no kidding, right?
And one, I like one of the comments. Well, I'm not going to say your name. Unfortunately, I can't say your name. But he says, so he would assume the main reason the post was pulled was because it was an EA blog. Not that it's wrong about Gears. You know what? It's an opinion.
Everybody has one.
Should have just left it up. If anything, breeds a little bit of health, hopefully healthy competition. Can you imagine if game developers were like gang members?
Wait, you mean they're not?
No, because they don't do drive-bys. It wouldn't be funny, but if it was in a gamer context, you know, done in a gamer way, like they drive by and, like, shoot Microsoft cards at them or something.
That would be hilarious. Or, you know, just take the whole little note from, you know, Texas football. You still each other's mascots and whatnot. You know, put a mascot out in front of your building. Tag each other's mascots.
We can send them pictures on Twitter. We got you. We got your zombie, Dead Space. Look.
what you going to do now?
Oh, you think our game is what you do with your zombie? Oh, that's funny.
That would be epically amazing is what that would be. I vote for this happening. Somebody make this happen.
Oh, I don't think they should have taken this down. You guys should leave it up.
No. Totally. If you're going to say something,
stand by it.
Yeah.
It's not what we say. Like, you know, you've heard it before. We put up bad reviews. We've had developers threaten us. I'm looking at you, Dinah Roar. Threaten us. You need to take it down and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what are you going to do?
I'm not taking that crap down. Your game was bad.
What you going to do? Come on over here. Throwing up my GDR gang signs. What?
That's awesome. You're going to have to teach me the GDR gang signs. Because I don't think I know them.
That means I got to get somebody else to take a picture of my hands when I do it. Gotta find me some gloves because, you know, I love gloves just as much as I love hats. Can't wear gloves.
All right, what have we got? I have got zombies is what I've got.
Sounds like a personal problem. You need to get some cream for that.
I said that to somebody else yesterday. Northern Irish Video Game Studio all set for launch. Today, Black Market Games announced the launch of their video game Dead Hungry Diner, a fast-paced puzzle and strategy game that features a fresh approach to the time management gaming genre. If it's anything like what the box art seems to be, oh, I want to play this. All right, so with Dead Hungry Diner, our goal was to create a fun game that could be enjoyed by as wide an audience as possible, says Sean MooTV McCafferty, design lead at Black Market Games. Accessibility is a key design principle for us. We looked at tried and tested gameplay mechanics at work and added some of our own original ingenuity. Why can't I say that word? Ingenuity. That really enhanced the player's experience, and that's really what it is all about. The player's experience. Popular online game site Rock Paper Shotgun described Hungry Diner as casual gaming gold. All right, I don't care what else they say. Are you actually going to tell me about the game? No, they're not going to tell me about the game. It looks like some kind of time management. It looks like the guy is picking brains from some kind of brain patch.
Ew.
Yeah, so think zombies and grossness and gore.
Ew.
But then think, you know, Diner Dash or something like that.
Ew, no.
At least that's what it looks like. Anyways, I just put this up on GameMatrix.com this morning. You can head over there and check it out.
Let me just say this again. Ew.
Come on, it's brains. Brains everywhere. Ah, nah, nah, nah.
You know I'm looking at you and giving you face, right?
You know you totally love it when I go, ah, nah, 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 nah.
Face. No, face. Ah, face.
Nom, 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 nom.
All right, we got to move along, Ginger. All right, so there is more information on the game. Other game I'm looking forward to, World of Darkness.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I got all fluttery in the tummy when I said that. Okay, so CCP Games headquartered in Iceland, who's a developer of the MMO EVE Online, has rooted its success in a clear game design goal to provide full sandbox gameplay designed to empower players to create emergent situations. According to Gamma Sutra, now the company will use that design principle in its upcoming World of Darkness MMO, in development in its Atlanta, Georgia studio, and based on the White Wolf tabletop role-playing IP of the same name, hallelujah, amen. The game is headed up by the creative director, Rainier Hardison, who is kind of cute, except for the fact that he smokes. Stop that. Smokes down to his cute quotient quite a bit. While MMOs typically promise players virtually limitless possibilities to explore and interact, there is a streak of linearity and hand-holding that is prevalent in MMO design. Hardison is suggesting a few theories about why he thinks other developers don't follow in EVE's footsteps in providing more opportunities for emergent gameplay. He says designing for emergence is very difficult because you can't test it. He said, but it's extremely fun to design this way because you design for theory. You can't test it. The market can test it. He says, we feel we've discovered some design principles which aid us in this quest. Because of this availability we have for EVE, it sometimes feels like we're kind of aliens in the industry. Hardarson and his boss, CCP CEO Hilmer Vagar Petrusen, don't have much time for other developers' MMOs. He accuses them of making massively single-player games, which is true, all to the content and the narrative, not facing that people want to play together, which is what we strive for at EVE. He says when he played Warhammer, he rage quit. I gotta admit, I did the same thing. What's the one ever? World of Warcraft as well. He says mainstream MMO design is about doling out handcrafted content, like there's a cookie and all that, on a linear path he wants to explore. He describes the World of Darkness MMO as a sandbox, which is very much inspired by EVE. He says it's not just EVE that is an influence on the game's direction, but the live-action role players of the Vampire the Masquerade tabletop game play this way. He says, if you've ever played the tabletop game, you know it's really not linear. It's all kind of crazy. He says it's really about politics and power plays. I cannot wait to play this. Oh, my God, I cannot wait. Okay. we still have no word on when they will be releasing. Ginger, are you there? Are you muted?
I'm totally here.
Not right. But there's no word on when.
Well, I am coughing my head off.
When World of Darkness will be released. But I'm going to say it's becoming very highly anticipated. He says when it comes to emergent backstabbing sandbox play that powers success, he says we will entice you to join. There is pressure on everyone because everyone's valuable, says Hadarison. Now, again, if you've never played a tabletop role-playing game, if you've never played EVE, this is going to scare the hell out of you when you get in here. Not because it's vampire or werewolf Facebook, because you could just be offed at any time. You could be like, I got my own family, and I'm the head of a 100-member family, and your family just turn on you. You won't even see it coming. This is not like the other MMOs. I will agree with them there. somebody's yelling out brain on Twitter. Thanks a lot, Ginger. That's Joe. So I am looking very, very forward to playing this. A lot of people, this is up on Gamma Sutra, by the way. A lot of people are, hell yeah, down the page. Yeah, we're waiting. The political ramifications are going to be excellent. You best believe we're going to be in there. I will be a vampire, but I most likely will not have a family. I will be the person you want to be afraid if I come and talk to you. I have an agenda. I'm either going to kill you or somebody close to you. That's the only tip I'm going to give you. I'm not going to say when. Could be a year. Could be 2 years. Could be the next 5 minutes. But you're going down. Same with Salem. Now, Salem, DGR is rolling. We rolling deep in Salem. All of you will die because we're all crazy here. Same with Secret World.
I'm going to be evil.
Permadeath? Oh.
I ain't scared.
No, not us. Them. You are going down, people. But I'm very, very excited. I love where they say they're going with this. It's going to be a great game. Great. I don't know if anybody else here is going to play. It might be a little too hardcore. Actually, EVE is a little hardcore for me. I can't really say I'm all that hardcore as far as EVE is concerned. It really is. It's not for you faint of heart people. Not at all. Have you played EVE?
Yes, I have played EVE.
Hardcore, right? Very hardcore.
It was very hardcore, man. All right. Those people take some stuff serious. I mean, yep. Oh my God. You EVE players?
They do not mess around. They don't mess around.
No, not at all. They don't. Oh, my God. Seriously, never heard. Well, no, take that back. Second Life people can get some pretty intense too. But
I can't put it in the same classification.
But Eve, it's like
Second Life MMOs are built by other players. This is
Eve is like the Wild Wild West meets gangsters meets the biggest baddest trolls you could ever imagine. Oh, seriously, I love me some trolls.
You remember the whole scandal with somebody who infiltrated a family in Eve, and then it got to the highest rank, and then I took their money, and it was like a whole scandal. And they loved it. They were like, "We're not getting involved. You got taken. Sorry."
That was hilarious. I just wanted to point and laugh.
I did too.
And the people are still playing. It's like, come on, you got called sheep. You got taken. They've continuously just bent you over, and y'all like it.
Hey,
y'all are some like kinky mofos.
Some people like being bent over.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Amazon.com and Epic Systems triumph after hours. Let me back up. Amazon.com and Epic Systems triumph at After Hours Gaming League Grand Finals. This weekend at the After Hours Gaming League Grand Finals held at Red Bull's North American headquarters in Santa Monica, healthcare software company Epic Systems was triumphant over IBM's StarCraft II championship. The charity they were playing for, Doctors Without Borders, will be given a $5,000 check. The monument fight during this weekend's event was between Electronic Arts with Amazon.com in the League of Legends championship. Amazon.com soundly beat EA's corporate team to win $5,000 for its favorite charity, Child's Play. The money was donated by StarCraft II makers, Blizzard Entertainment, and League of Legends developers Riot Games. The After Hours Gaming League is a computer gaming league for major corporations who duke it out in tournaments for glory and a big donation to their favorite charities. The AHGL was created by celebrity gamer Sean Day9 Plotz, who was recently named by Forbes 30 Under 30 list for his work as a gaming sportscaster. All right, so you want to find out more about this? AfterHoursGaming.tv. This sounds kind of cool. So way to go. That's a nice check to be given to Child's Play. Child's Play is an amazing thing, and we should be supporting them, and I can't believe that people do it while having fun.
I just don't like it that it's an after-hours gaming week. Why can't we all... Why is it for corporations? We all want to play.
Yeah. All right, well, that one is kind of short. Can I grab another one?
Most assuredly, darling. Go for it.
All right. Video Game Law 2nd Edition released. Video Game Law 2nd Edition is now available for those interested in the new book that delves into the various legal issues that video game industry faces on a regular basis. The book was written by John Festinger, QC, Chris Metcalf, and Rochin Ripley, and published by LexisNexis Canada. The $80, 300-page paperback covers the overlap amongst various issues, including intellectual property law, freedom of speech issues, defamation, privacy issues, best practices for licensing, employment issues, and more. Further examples of the topics covered in this book includes case law concerning unauthorized modifications to games, case law on the correlation between violent behavior and violent video games, and standard forms for end-user license agreement in terms of business and privacy policy. Clearly, this book is not meant for consumers, but consumers that read it will certainly get an idea of why game companies do the things they do from a legal standpoint. All right, you want to find out more about that? There's a link, and it's really long, so I'm not going to give it to you. If you want it, you can head over to GamePolitics.com this morning.
Oh, yes.
GamePolitics.com.
All right, so Valve has come up with something completely new and different that I'm hoping catches on. They've cooked up a novel pricing model for the upcoming Defense of the Ancients 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, Managing Director Gabe Newell says that players will be charged based on what they bring to the community. So team players may get a free ride, whereas you people who are acting all crazy, you're going to have to pay. Cold hard cash. Gabe is saying the issue that they're struggling with is quite a bit of something that they've talked about before, which is how do you properly value someone's contribution to the community. Speaking with Develop Magazine, he says if you're the kind of player who helps newbies find their footing, releases cool mods, and reports bugs in a timely manner, you might find yourself playing for free. If you're a troll who picks on new players, exploits flaws in the game mechanics, and generally makes things less fun for everyone, expect to pay, Tricks. So that's not what you say. That's what I said. So in practice, a really likable person in our community should get Defense of the Ancients 2 for free because of past behavior in Team Fortress 2. Now, a real jerk that annoys everyone, they can still play, but a game is full price, and they have to pay an extra $100 if they want that voice. Ooh, I kind of like that idea. What do you think, Ginger?
I will honestly say that I was just on the phone. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Valve is going to charge people for, if you're not nice, if you're not a good part of the community, they're going to charge you extra for your game, whereas if you're nice, you get it for free.
So if you're nice, you get it for free.
Yeah, you're an integral part of the community. You make mods. You're helping out the newbies.
I think I like that. That encourages people to not be trolls. It encourages people to help grow the community. And it gets from there. I mean, think about it. No trolls, nice community. Everybody chips in, makes it a better place. Of course, you know, you're going to run into those people who have very good intentions but are not good at all. But I think this is going to be really great. I really think that this will help. I like that, you know, if you're not going to help out, if you're not going to put your time in, that you're going to get charged. But if you put your time in and you work hard, you help build the community, they're going to give it to you for free. It's kind of like a reward. It's a reward system. I like that.
That's a good reward system as opposed to a badge. Here's a badge for being the nice dog.
Here's a hat. No.
I take a hat, but they generally just give you a badge or achievement, which I don't understand achievements at all. People who are like, I want to give you achievement for so-and-so. I don't get it. I don't care about achievements. I'm just playing. I could care less. Sometimes I'll ask at the beginning of a game just to get stuff because some parts of the game you can't unlock till you get achievements. But if I didn't have to unlock the game, I could care less about an achievement. Just like my Rock Band. I think that's where Rock Band went bad. Not just the whole thing with harmonics, but we said this before. If they had said, we're having a constant Rock Band competition, first you got to reach this point and get this particular achievement, which says, you know, you play all the time. Then, after that, we're going to pick from a pool of these people, and, you know, you're going to have to reach a certain score, and then we're going to bring you on a trip out to Cali, or wherever we're going to have this big rock concert. Then you're going to be on stage. Just get to the whole rock experience. People would be playing Rock Band left and right. Try to get them off Rock Band. A rock concert where you get to play at a concert venue with thousands of people.
That would be
in a trip.
So flipping amazing.
It would have been, but they never picked up and ran with it. It seems like they were trying to. If you look at the last Rock Band they made, they were having competitions, but they didn't go anywhere with it. Boring.
Wow.
And that was short, so I need to go to this next one. I need to do this one.
Okay. You, I swear to God, I don't know what's going on, but like you keep coming in and out for me. It's so weird.
It could be because I unplugged my mic earlier, so I think noise canceling is on. So
okay.
It may be pulling me. You know, I'm just going to leave that.
Because you sound normal, and then you sound like you're in a tin can, and then far away, and then normal, and a little strange.
I think it's you, Ginger.
Yeah, and see, and then, like, half your words is weird. So odd.
It's
I heard
you.
Ginger.
It's you.
It probably is me.
Is that better right there?
Yeah.
Ah. Okay, so.
Nah, all right. We'll just go anyways.
All right, Facebook is saying to Zenga, whatever, we don't need you. Not really.
We give you fists.
In a new SEC filing, Facebook has revealed that approximately 15% of its revenue during the first fiscal quarter of 2012 came from sales of virtual goods in Zynga games and advertising on Zynga games. The company said that 11% of its total revenue for fiscal quarter one ended March 31st, 2012, and came from payment processing fees related to Zynga's sale of virtual goods, while an additional 4% of the revenue is estimated to have been generated from ads displayed on the same pages as games from Zynga. This compared to the estimated 19% of total revenue that Facebook attributes to Zynga during the same quarter of 2011 fiscal year. The lower percentage indicates that Facebook is becoming less reliant on Zynga's financial health. See, we told you, Zynga. Facebook noted the launch of Zynga's own social gaming platform earlier this year and admitted that revenue may take a hit if Zynga chooses to move its operations away from Facebook. Zynga has recently launched games on its own website on non-Facebook platforms, and Zynga may choose to try to migrate users from existing Facebook-integrated games to other websites or platforms, is what Facebook said.
says we may fail to maintain good relations with Zynga, or Zynga may decide to reduce or cease its investments in games on the Facebook platform. If the use of Zynga games on our platform declines for these other reasons, our financial results may be adversely affected. For the fiscal quarter ended May 31st, 2012, Facebook posted revenues of $1.1 billion, up compared to $731 million year-over-year, meaning that Zynga accounted for around $158.7 million of their total revenue. It posts profits of around $205 million, down compared to last year's $233 million. And an analyst from Baird Equity Research estimates that these figures imply that Zynga took net bookings of around $230 million from virtual goods transactions on Facebook during the Sutra is reporting. We tried to warn the both of you. That was a bad codependent relationship y'all had going.
And yes, very, very, very bad. Codependence, not good. Ever. All right, so. Sorry, there was noise behind me. G5 Games brings Mojang artifacts to Nook. Leading casual games publisher G5 Entertainment today announced that its highly addictive tile-matching game, Mojang Artifacts, is now available on Nook Color and Nook Tablet. This highly addictive tile-matching game with tons of content will keep you entertained for hours. The game features three different modes of play, Classic, Story, and Endless. While the Story mode features an epic quest for lost relics, in the Classic mode you can choose the layout you want to play, and in the breathtaking Endless mode you will remove tiles from an ever-rising tower of game pieces. The game is filled with innovative gameplay twists and turns you'll love to using special tiles to clear layouts, collect bonuses and trophies for special accomplishments. Who wrote this? And the marvelous graphics and elaborate sets are really what make this Mojang tile so prominent among the others. Mojang Artifacts is developed and published by G5 Entertainment. So we've got a couple of things here. Story mode features 25 layouts. Classic mode has 100 layouts. Innovative Endless Mode, 27 gorgeous backgrounds, music tracks inspired by ancient cultures, and manual smooth zoom in and out auto zoom option. All right, so there is a trailer, and I am going to try to get it up for you. I don't know if I will, but anyways, GameAndMatrix.com this morning. Head over there, check it out. Yes, do it.
Do it.
Well, yeah. Check it out in a couple of minutes. It's not up yet.
No, no, no. All right, so more on Valve. Apparently released, or somebody spilled the beans on their employee handbook.
Oh,
yeah. Pardon me. GI.biz is reporting the Valve new employee handbook has turned out to be real. Some of you were wondering if it was, as the publisher developer has confirmed that the 56-page document is the new guide given to new hires. The handbook describes a business run not by a corporate hierarchy, but a company that allows employees to win and fail at their own leisure. I don't know about that. The book, which is open to employee revision, is designed to give off the sense that a new hire within the company is the most important thing possible for the 200-plus employee studio. The book gives the idea that a successful employee follows a T-shaped model, where a new hire is who is an expert who is well-established in the sector and knowledgeable enough in others. Also discussed in Valve's universe, which sets hiring as a center, items such as design, art, code, and other skills are secondary, considered less important than simply hiring new talent. Interestingly enough, Valve readily admits that they cannot do mentoring right and that they are very bad about internal communication. In essence, a new hire is meant to be able to think on their feet and be ready to go without needing to learn the ropes of the skill they were hired for. There is a PDF of this floating around on the internet. You can go find. Wow, and there's been no comment as of yet on what's going on with this. Valve, I don't think this is a good way to run. They need some type of hierarchy, and you still need to, you know, you still need to make sure you keep an eye on your employees. Not, hey, you're your own boss.
Yes. Yes, totally.
People take advantage of that. They will take advantage of that.
No, never. People would do that.
Of course they will. And it'll be a bad, bad thing at some point. It may not be yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at some point. I don't know why. There's a lot of people that try to do this. And it works out fine when you're small. But, Gabe, when you are debuting on the Forbes list, it means you are big time. Which means you probably need to look at not letting people be their own employees.
employees and hit the ground running. Or that, or you can't hire new people. You have to hire somebody who's been at it for a while, who mm-hmm. maybe comes from, yeah, this is not a smart idea, I don't think.
And no, not at all. Not a very smart idea at all.
shame, Gabe Newell. Everybody knows your name. Did we got time for one more? You got one more you can squeeze in?
Yeah, I'm going to try to work through this. 40% of freemium players spend money on in-game upgrades. We already knew this. According to the latest data from research firm NPD Group, an estimated 40% who have played a freemium game that offers an upgrade option in-game have spent the money to buy the game. That comes from NPD Group's insights into the freemium games market reports. The report uses data from 6,000 individuals it surveyed, including both children and adults. The report notes that women and girls are more likely to play freemium games than men, but are less likely to spend money on these types of games. The NPD Group notes that approximately 38% of the U.S. population is playing some form of freemium gaming. Yes, and spending more than what people would pay just with a monthly fee, which we will assume is divided amongst various platforms, including Facebook, the web, massively multiplayer online games, and iOS and Android devices. The majority of those players who decide to pay for in-game upgrades do so within the first month of playing a particular game title, according to NPD. Because of this fact, NPD says that it is important for developers to include features in their games that drive quick conversion to pay for players. NPD Group also says that only 15% of gamers who are aware of freemium games choose to play them, while 84% of gamers who try freemium gaming stick with it. While females are more likely to continue playing a freemium game after an initial test drive, males aged 13 to 34 are most likely to abandon freemium gaming entirely after trying it. What do you think, Corey? Well, I don't quite understand why that would be. I'm guessing probably because most freemium games are going to be games.
I'm just talking muted. I have to agree with them because I was working on... Yes, review game. Frankenstein is acting up, so I cannot post my reviews like I need to. But I'm still planning a review. One called Prison something or other. It's kind of like Diner Dash, but in prison. And it's a light version. I almost went and bought the full version. I did. I looked at it. I said I should buy this because I was having such a good time. And it's like $3.99 to get the full version. No, they didn't give it to us. So there's the light version. Fine, but it's one of those where if you're not paying attention, you're like, it's only $3. But before you know it, it's like $80 you spent because you bought so many. So I could see where this could happen. And, of course, you know, we here with the virtual shoes and stuff, it's still microtransactions. It's still in-game purchase. it's for the purposes of the show, but we're still buying a lot of shoes. Oh, my God. Do you know I had a pair of shoes show up in my inventory I bought months ago that I never got? It just came to me a couple of days ago. I was like, oh, when did I get these? Oh, and I had to go back and look, and it was months ago. I think when they're doing the update system, they just came in. Jigga, are you available?
I am totally here. I got those. I mentioned those shoes. Actually, you thought you see a necklace.
Oh, it's your shoes.
They're shoes?
And they're not pretty. Are you sure? That was a necklace I hit.
No.
So now I got to go
it
back and
It showed a necklace, but it was shoes, and they were not pretty.
Not mad. It was a cute little. It was a steampunk necklace, actually. That's why I sent it to you. And it was a clock, and it's supposed to be a working clock. And I said, "Oh, how cute! Ginger will like this." That's why I grabbed it. And I was like, "Oh, she's gonna be so surprised." Oh, my Linden's back. I'm gonna need my Linden's back, people. All right, it is time for us to get going. Of course, we will be back later tonight with Anita. Having a designer on, but I cannot get a hold of her. This is another one in the UK, so we don't know if she'll be up to talk with us. If not, of course, you know we'll be here. We'll have some good to talk about Pixinista. So we will be back bright and early tomorrow, and again later tonight. Make sure you're 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you love you some digital fashion, also find us anytime, anywhere, gamingnation.com, gamergirlsradio.com. See you guys later.
Like in Lebanon, harder than in Pakistan. Click, 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 young Nicky, atomic bomb. Yeah, see it and you lick your tongue.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.